Today, Shirin the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud. And we already learned the Mishnah, which started on Tesel Mibbeis, but we'll chazer over the Mishnah real quickly. So, we'll go to the bottom of Tesel Mibbeis, but the Mishnah, three lines from the bottom. Ein bein Shiloh Yerushalayim. There is no difference between the Mishkan when it was in Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, between the cities of Shiloh and the city of Yerushalayim. Ella, the only difference is between them, should be Shiloh, Ochlim, Kochim, Kalim, Umayser, Shenim, Bechol, Roah, will be Yerushalayim, Lifnim, and Achoma. The requirement to eat the kachi kalim, which are parts of the korbanos are allowed to be eaten, as well as the ma'aser sheni, has to be eaten within a restricted area. That restricted area was in Shiloh, any place that could see Shiloh. If you could see the Mishkan Shiloh, so then you're allowed to eat these korbanos, the kachi kalim, or ma'aser sheni. In Yerushalayim, as long as you're within the walls of Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat them. Otherwise, everything else was the same. And in addition, v'kan v'kan, kachi kachim, in specifically, the eating of kochi kochim had to be done within the Azara. So, ne'acholim lefnim and akloim, that's called within the kloim. In the actual Mishkan, there were curtains surrounding the Azara. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall surrounding the Azara, where we nevertheless still use the terminology lefnim and akloim, within the curtains. So, it has to be eaten within the Azara of either the Mishkan when it was in Shiloh or the Beis HaMikdash Azara. Now, Kedusha Shiloh, the Kedusha of Shiloh, meaning that while the Mishkan was in Shiloh, it had certain Kedusha to it. Yesh achra heta. After the Mishkan Nebuch was destroyed in Shiloh, so then a person was allowed to again have a bama ketana. The Kedusha of Shiloh was a temporary Kedusha only while the Mishkan was in Shiloh, and therefore the hataras habamos, allowing a person to have a private mizbeach in his backyard, was permitted during the years that the Mishkan was in Nov and in Givon, and those were years after the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh, before the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So, Yesh Achra Heta means that the Bama Ketana permission was allowed once again after Shiloh was destroyed. It wasn't allowed during the time that the Mishkan was in Shiloh, but never after the destruction of the Mishkan in Shiloh, so for the 57 years that it was in Nov and Givot, so they were allowed to go and again have a Bama Ketana. However, Ukdusha Sushalayim, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, ein achra heter. There is no heter afterwards to have bama ketana at all. So that's what we did yesterday. We chazed it over real quickly. Now we go to the Gemara. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak tells us, Shomati, I heard, Shemakriven bebeis chonyo, bisman hazeh, that one is permitted to go and bring korbanos in what's known as beis chonyo, which I'll explain in a moment, bisman hazeh, nowadays. Now, according to most of the Farshim, Rav Yitzchak lived well after the period of time that there was a Beis HaMikdash equivalent in Alexandria Mitzrayim known as Beis Chonyo. So when he says Bizman HaZeh, he meant during the period of time after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but before the pseudo Beis HaMikdash in Alexandria Mitzrayim was destroyed. So what is this Beis Chonyo? So the Gemara in Menachos, and Nav Kuf Tes Omid Beis, tells us a fascinating story. After the great Kohen Gadol Shimon HaTzadik passed away, so in his tzava, he had two children. He had Shimi and Chonyo, and Shimi was the older one by 2.5 years over Chonyo. But he said, Chonyo should be the Kohen Gadol after me, not Shimi. The younger one should be the Kohen Gadol, not the older one. And there are two versions of the story brought down in the Gemara in Menachos. The first version was that Chonyo said, no, I'm going to let Shimi go and do it, even though I'm designated, but it's not right. He's my older brother, and he allowed Shimi to do this, but Shimi still was very jealous of him, and Shimi concocted a plan to make Chonyo look bad. He told him to, I'll teach you stuff about kahuna that you need to know. He told him, you have to dress up in a certain type of woman's garment, as if you're going to do the avoda in those garments, and I'll teach you about how to do the avoda. In any event, Shimi goes over to the other Kohanim and says, look what my brother is trying to do. He wants to demonstrate his love to his wife, and he told her that I'll wear your garments and I'll demonstrate my love to you for all time by doing the avoda in your garments. Now, they obviously were very, very upset that he would do this, and they wanted to kill Chonyo, and he had to run away to Alexandria Mitzrayim, where he set up a pseudo-temple over there. And there's a machlokus in the Gemara as to whether that temple was l'shem shomayim, that the korbanos were brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or whether the korbanos were brought to Rechmono Litzlan and Avodah Zarah. That's version number one. Version number two was, again, Shimon HaTzadik passed away. He designated his younger son, Chonyo, to be the Kohen Gadol. And nevertheless, Chonyo was concerned that Shimi would try to usurp this from him. So he told Shimi, let me tell you about the Kohen Gadol, and you dress up as a woman, And I will teach you to do the avoda properly. And again, he now, in this situation, Chonyo told all the other Kohanim, look what Shimi's doing. He professed love to his wife, and he is demonstrating this love by doing the avoda in a woman's garment. So they wanted to kill Shimi. But then Shimi told them what happened, and they got very mad at Chonyo. They believed him, and Chonyo had to run away. In either event, whether it's the first version or the second version, Chonyo had to run away. He was threatened to be killed, and he had to run away to Alexandria Mitzrayim, and again set up this base Chonyo in Alexandria Mitzrayim, which was a large Jewish population over there. And unfortunately, they either brought korbanos even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would be not allowed outside the base Hamikdash, or Rechmona Lassana was to Avodah Zarah. So that's what Rav Yitzchok made his statement in Makrivim Beis Chonyo Bisman Hazeh. You are allowed to go bring korbanos after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash in Beis Chonyo. So this implies certain things. Kasavar, number one, Rav Yitzchok thought that Beis Chonyo la Beis Avodah Zarah. The fact that he says you are allowed to do so means that he obviously didn't think that they were worshipping Avodah Zarah there. They were davening and bringing korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And number two, the Kasavar, Kedusha Rishon HaKitcha L'Shaita, that the Kedusha that was installed in the Beis Hamikdash was only for the time that the Beis Hamikdash was standing, below Kitchel Yosid Lavo, and was not for all future. And therefore, once Nebuch, the Beis Hamikdash, was destroyed, maybe the Main Hashem should rebuild it. Nevertheless, in Alexandria Mitzrayim, where they had a temple like a bama that could be bringing korbanos, so you would be allowed to go and bring, even after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, korbanos on that good kosher bama that Chonyo had made. Now, this obviously contradicts the Mishnah, which the Gemara will mention in a few moments. Now, where did Rav Yitzchok get this idea that you'd be allowed to do this? So it's based upon the famous pasuk, Tosil. Pasuk tells us, "Ki lavasi barato ela menucha vela nachla." Menucha nachla refer to what? So menucha, this is a reference to Shiloh, and nachla, this is a reference to Yerushalayim. And therefore, he says he's makish nachla menucha. He's makish the two things in the pasuk, the connection, the juxtaposition of the pasuk of menucha nachla Shiloh and Yerushalayim teaches us the following thing: makish nachla menucha in the following way. Ma menucha, just like when the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed, you were allowed to go and have a bama ketana after it again. So he's saying, ma menucha, the Mishkan and Shiloh yeshachar heter, there was a heter of the bamos afterwards. So too, af nachala yeshachar heter. So too, the nachala reference to Yerushalayim, Nebuch, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, once again there was a heter of the bamos. So therefore, that's what Rav Yitzchok said, that makrivim beis chonyo bizman hazeh, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, one would be allowed to go and bring korbanos on this holy Bama Kitana in Beis Chonyo. However, the Chacham didn't like this. Amulei, the Chacham said to Rav Yitzchok, Armis, did you really say this? Is this statement that's brought down in your name, Shemakrivim Beis Chonyo Bizman Hazeh, is that accurate? So he told them, Amulei, no, it's not, lo. Now, he obviously did say it, and what the Gemara means to tell us is that he retracted his original statement, and he said, no, you're not allowed to go bring the Beis Chonyo Bizman Hazeh. Now, Amar Rava, Rava said when he heard that Rav Yitzchok said he didn't say the statement, so Rava said, that's not true, Elokim. He makes it like a shvua by God. Amara, in fact, Rav Yitzchok did state it, and I myself heard it from him. Ugamirno lo mine. I learned it from him. And my time of Kohar the Bay, so everybody asked, so why did Rav Yitzchok retract his statement? Why did he choser ba, hodar ba? So mishum kasha the Rav Mari, because of the question that Rav Mari asked. What did Rav Mari ask? The most of Rav Mari. Rav Mari asked, Kedushas Shiloh Yeshacharel Heter. Our Mishnah said that only after the Mishkan and Shiloh was destroyed is there a heter bamos, but not after the Beis HaMikdash. Ein acharel heter bamos. So our Mishnah is a kasha on Rav Yitzchok said. That's number one. Furthermore, we have another Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Zvachim. Tanan, it says over there, Mishabal Yerushalayim, once we entered into Yerushalayim, Nesru HaBamos V'lo Hayo Lehem Od Heter. That's it. Once we had the Beis HaMikdash, there is no more a Heter Bamos, even Rachmon Litzlan, if the Beis HaMikdash isn't around. And that's what the pasuk means when it says, V'Hayisol Nachala. This is our permanent Nachala. So, you aren't allowed to go and bring anything on a Bama Ketana after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So from these two Mishnayos, our Mishnah and this Mishnah in Zvachim, it's a kash on Rav Yitzchok, and therefore Rav Yitzchok was hodar. He retracted his statement. Now the Gemara says, nevertheless, this is a machlokes tanoim. Even though Rav Yitzchok retracted, he felt that, well, we're going to bring down a Braisa right now, or another Mishnah, he felt that the two Mishnayos that we brought down, our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Zvachim, were the correct. So this is a machlokas tanoim. Now we have the gears of the Tanya, that it's a braisa, but it really is ditznan. It really is a mishnah. Now what is that mishnah? is a mission in Edios, where it says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, we'll have a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So first, Rabbi Eliezer says, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shamati, I heard, Gisha Yubonim Behechel, when they were building the Beis HaMikdash. This is talking about when Ezra returned towards the end of the Golus Babel, and they started to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I had heard that when they were building the Heichel, that they did it in the following way. Osim Kloyim LaHeichel, they would put up curtains around the Heichel, and they would put up ukloim, they would put up curtains around the Azara. Now, what was the purpose of these curtains? They were there in order that Elosh beHeichel bonim mibechutz, the curtains around the Heichel, they were built on the outside, so they couldn't see what was inside the Heichel, so they built the wall around the Heichel, i.e. the wall of the Heichel. So beHeichel bonim mibechutz, they built on the outside of the curtain, ubazara, when they had the curtain or the Azara, bonim mibechutz, they built inside the curtains, when they were putting the wall up around the Azara, so they had this curtain, and they built inside of it. So for the Heichel, they did their building on the outside of the curtain, and for the Azara, they did their building on the inside. Now, what was the purpose of these curtains? Until they built the actual wall of the Azara, they had to be mekadesh the Azara anew. So they had to be mekadesh it by putting up the curtains. And likewise, the Heichel, until they actually built the structure of the Heichel, they had to be mekadesh that area, and they put up the curtains. So the purpose of this was, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that they had to re-mekadesh. It wasn't a kedusha that had persisted, but at the time of the Bayi Sheni, they had to re-sanctify the area of the Azara and of the Heichel. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Barber of Yeshua, Shua disagrees. He said, no, Shamati, I heard, Shemak Reven, that one is permitted to go and be Makrav Kabanos, even if there are no walls or curtains. Avil Bisha'ein Bais, even though there is no structure of the Heichel, and one is allowed to Oakland Kotche Kodashim, Avil Bisha'ein Klein, and one could eat Kotche Kodashim, even though there are no curtains that identify on a Makadesh the area of the Azara. In other words, the Kedusha of the original Azara still remained. The Kedusha of the original area of the Heichel still remained, and they didn't have to be re-Makadishit. And furthermore, the Kotche Kalim, which had to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and the Maaseh Sheni, which had to be eaten in Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Aval Bishen Chol, even though there is no wall, nevertheless, the original Kedusha of Yerushalayim is still present, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. Mipnei she-Kedusha Rishon HaKitcha L'Shaita, the original Kedusha of the first Beis HaMikdash was there during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, and the Kitcha L'Yosud Lavo, and it never went away. Even with Nebuch, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, that Kedusha was retained. So here you see, clearly see the Machlokas Tanayim, that you have the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer saying that the Kedusha Rishon was Kitcha L'Shaita, but not L'Yosud Lavo, and it had to be re-Mikudosh when Ezra came up, and Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. And that's what the Gemara now tells us. Mechal to Rabbi Eliezer Sovar lo kitchul yosud lavo, that the Kedusha, according to Rabbi Eliezer, was not a permanent Kedusha, it was only during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Ah, this is the opinion that Rabbi Yitzchak originally held. Now, Gemara says, not necessarily so. Omli Ravina, Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi, Mimai, why did you learn the Gemara? Why did the Gemara just learn that this was a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua as to whether Kitcha Lishaito and Kitchel Yosud Lavo, or Kitchel Shaita, but not Liosud Lavo, Lo Kitchel Yosud Lavo. He says that's not the way to learn this. Maybe Dilma, in fact, there is no such machlos with Rebelezer and Yeshua. Dilma, the Kuli Amma, Kedusha Rishon, Kitchel Shaita, the Kitchel Yosud Lavo. The Rebelezer also agrees that the Kedusha was there from the original time, and it stayed there, it never went away. Why did Rebelezer say they had to put up curtains, and Yeshua said, no, they didn't have to put up curtains, it still was Kadosh? So that's a simple answer. In fact, each one said what they had heard. Umar, Maidish Mi'alei Kamar, Rabbi Eliezer said over what he had heard. Umar and Rabbi Yeshua, Maidish Mi'alei Kamar, he also said over what he heard. Now, you're going to tell me, then what was the purpose, according to Rabbi Eliezer, of requiring curtains? So if the Kedusha was there, and you're allowed to be Makriv, he doesn't disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, doesn't disagree with Rabbi Yeshua, so then what was the purpose of building these curtains and building the wall of the Azara on the inside of the curtains and the wall of the Heichel from the outside of the curtains? What was the purpose of that? No, that had a separate purpose, nothing to do with Kedusha. That was to go and protect anybody from looking into what they were doing, because there was an area there of Kedusha, and you just don't look into the Heichel whenever you want. So therefore, that's why they put up those curtains. They were for tznius purposes, to, quote, protect the already existing Kedusha, but not to create the Kedusha. So you can't bring from here a raya that Rav Yitzchak had a Tanoic opinion that it's Tanoi he. However, Gemara says, there still is a machlokis tanoim that you can show. Elo kihane tanoi. It's based upon the following machlokis tanoim. This is a braisa. The Tanya. And this Braisa tells us, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, who was the son of Rabbi Yossi, says, Lama manu chachamim es elu. When they were talking about the walled cities at the time of Yehoshua, they were learning the details of the dinim of Bate Are Choma. We mentioned this previously, not that long ago. We had that if you're in a walled city and you sell your house, so the person who you sold it to, it belongs to him, but you have the right to buy it back from him, prorated by what you received in payment for it for the first 12 months of the year. So you can retract and say 8 months later, listen, I made a mistake. I want my house back. The guy can't protest. He has to sell you the house back. But after 1 year, he can tell you, go take a hike. He doesn't have to sell it back to you unless he wishes to. So you can force him for Are Bate Choma, for a house inside a walled city, you can force him to resell it back to you in the first year, but not afterwards. So what are those walled cities? This is a Bate Are Choma. So Loma Manu Chachamim Meselu, Rishon Rebiosi said, why did the Chachamim mention all those cities in Yehoshua that are considered walled cities? Kisha'alu B'nei HaGola, because when in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Ezra and the B'nei HaGola came up to Yerushalayim, Matsuas Elu V'Kitchum. They found certain of those cities that are mentioned over here now in Ezra, those are mentioned as they found them, and they sanctified them, V'Kitchum. And that's why the Mishnah Arachim mentions those specific walled cities, only those cities. I will be showing us all the other cities that had walls that were mentioned in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, Batlu. They were not reconquered, so to say, when Ezra came back, and therefore their Kedusha is Batel. They don't have the status of being a Bate Are Choma for any of the dinim of a walled city. And Batlu, Misha Batlu Aretz, when Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed. So not only did the Beis HaMikdash lose its Kedusha, the land lost its Kedusha as well, and it had to be re-sanctified. And only those cities that they re-sanctified had now the status of Bate Are Choma, but the original other walled cities did not. Alma, you see from this, this opinion holds, this Brisa holds, that the original Kedusha was only temporary during the time that the Beis HaMikdash existed. The low Kitchel, but wasn't a permanent Kedusha for all time. So this is the opinion that Rabbi Yitzchak really attributed to. Mora says, wait a second, if you're telling me that this is the opinion of Yishmael ben Osho Rav Yossi, but he seems to say otherwise. Now you're telling me Yishmael ben Osho Rav Yossi holds that Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Yasid Lavo, but I'll show you that Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi says otherwise. Where does he say otherwise? I'll show you. Remino, it says another bright, so I'm Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi. The same Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi says, V'chi Elu B'vad Hayu, are only the ones that are mentioned in Arachin, are those the only walled cities that were existed in the time of Yeshua? There are other cities. Velo Kvar Namar, the Pasuk tells us that in Devarim, Shishim Ir Kol Chevel Argov, that there were 60 walled cities in this region of Argov. Now, it says over there, further Uksiv, Kol Eila, all of these are Arim Bitsuros Choma Givala. They're all strong cities, they're protected cities with large walls. So there are 60 of them. So why are only some of those 60 mentioned in Arachin and the others are not? Ella, the reasoning is, Lama Manu Chacham Meselu, why were those that were mentioned in the Mishnah Arachim, the only ones that were mentioned, and not the other of the 60? Because when they returned from Golas, when Ezra came back with the Bnei HaGola, they found these cities, and they were Mekadish them. There were questions that said, Kitchum? How can you say that they were Mekadish them? You just said that they were Kedusha, is permanent Kedusha. So why would they have to be Mekadish them? So we turn to Yudamid Beis. Hashta ha'omre lo tzricha likedushe. But we are going to say in his brisa that there is no need to be mekadish them again. So why would you say now that it was kitchum? So Gemara says, you're right, that wasn't the right word. Elamatsu, they found those orim betsuros, those walled cities, they found them. Elamatsu eselu, they did find those, umenom, and they counted them, but not that they were mekadish them. Now, the brisa continues, and here we get to the punchline that shows that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi holds that the kedusha was La'asid Lavo. It wasn't a temporary Kedusha. And it says, V'lo Elu B'vad, not only these cities that they found, Elo Kol, every city, Shetalu L'chol Mesoris, that you have a tradition, B'yotcha, in your hands, Me'avosecha, from your fathers, Shemu Kefes Chol Me'imos Yeshua Ben Nun, that had a wall at the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, all of these cities have the Kedusha, Kol HaMitzos Halalu Nagimba. They have the status of being a walled city for all of the dinim of a walled city, whether it's reading the Megillah on Tesvav, whether it's the status of a Bate Are Choma, or any other din. A Betzorah is not allowed to go into a walled city. Whatever the din is of a walled city, if it had a wall during the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that Kedusha making it a walled city is permanent. Kol ha-mitzvos halolu nagim bo. Why? Mipnei she-kidush ha-rishon ha-kitchul ha-shayitah ha-kitchul ha-yosid lavo. Now, this is Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi. So in this brisa, we see that he clearly holds that kidush ha-rishon ha-kitchul ha-shayitah and la-yosid lavo, when the previous statement of Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, it was only a temporary kidush, it was not kitchul ha-yosid lavo. So we have a stira. Kash the Rishmol, the Rav Yossi, either Rishmol or Rav Yossi. So we have a stira. So the Gemara says two trade routes. So the first one is trade Tanoia, leave the Rishmol or Yossi. Yes, we have two Tanoic opinions as to what Rishmol or Yossi said. He only said one of them. But his Talmidim were Cholkim as to what opinion the Rebbe held. So the first opinion of Rishmol or Yossi was that it was Kitchel Shaita, but not Kitchel Yossi Lobo. The second opinion brought down as to what Rishmol or Yossi said by a different Tana was that it was Kitchel Shaita and Kitchel Yossi Lobo. So there's no stira in what Rishmol or Yossi said. There's a stira in what his Talmidim thought he said. One Talmud said this, one Talmud said that. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, everybody say, no, you have a mistake. The second brisa that we brought down over here is not Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, but it's somebody else. Ha, Rabbi Elazar bar Yossi Amra. This was a different person. It was Rabbi Elazar who was the son of Rabbi Yossi. Mistam, it's the same Rabbi Yossi. It's a different son. So instead of it being Rabbi Yishmael ben Rabbi Yossi, it was Rabbi Elazar ben Yossi. That's how they got mixed up, because it was both of them were the son of Rabbi Yossi. And the Tanya, because we know that this is true, because it says, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi Omar, he dashes into the Pasuk, Asher lo chomo. The word lo is a civil kri. It has a vav, or it has an aleph in it, depending on whether you're pronouncing it or whether you're spelling it out. And that teaches us a din in regards to Batayri Choma, which is the din across the board for this city, is it considered a walled city or not. And this civil creed tells us it can be darshan as low it and also low not. And how do we darshan it that way? Asher lo choma, afa pi she'ein lo achshav. Even though it doesn't have a walled city right now, right? Right now it's a low. It doesn't have a walled city, but low. It did have a walled city. V'haya lo kodem lo kein. During the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it did have a walled city. So therefore it has its kedusha. And we see that this clearly is the opinion of Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, not a kasha, Rabbi Shmuel, Adi Rabbi Shmuel. The first opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is the only opinion that we have, and that is Kitchul Shaita Velo Kitchul Yosid Lobo. And then Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, he's the one that holds Kitchul Shaita the Kitchul Yosid Lobo. There's no stira in Rabbi Yishmael. It's two different opinions brought down by the children of Rabbi Yossi. With this, we conclude the discussion about the Ein Bein Shilo to Yerushalayim, and we actually conclude the whole discussion of the Ein Bein Mishnayis, and now we're going off into a beautiful couple of days of darshaning of the Megillah. And these are beautiful dafim, less of agoda and stories, and they're long dafim, but they're beautiful dafim. So we begin right now. Vayhi b'meach Achashverosh. The Gemara says that the Megillah opens up with the words Vayhi b'meach Achashverosh, and it's going to tell us Amar Reb Levi v'itim Reb Yonasan. Either was Reb Levi or was Reb Yonasan that said, the following is a tradition that we have from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and that is whenever we use the word Vayihi, Komokum Shinemar, Vayihi, whenever the word Vayihi, which is a contraction of Oy, Vay, that's where we get the Lashon of Oy, Vay. So Vayihi, Vay, Oy, it's terrible. Eino El Lashon Tsar, it implies a painful discussion that's about to happen. In other words, this tsar that's about to come upon the Jewish people when it says the Lashon of Vayihi. It always implies a negative portention for what it's about to come. And the Gemara gives examples of this. It says, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, and what happens afterwards? Have a Haman. Immediately after that, Haman rises to power and causes all of the terrible potential calamities for Klai Yisrael that he wanted to occur to Klai Yisrael. Similarly, it says, Vayihi b'mei Shvat HaShoftim, this very beginning psukim of Rus, and what happens right after that? Havaroth, there was a terrible famine that led to Rus having to leave Eretz Yisrael. Rus and Naomi left Eretz Yisrael. And it says, Vayihi kihechel ha'adam l'rov. It talks about during the generation of the door of the Mabel. So it says over there, Vayihi kihechel ha'adam l'rov. People became multiplied and there were numerous on the earth. And right after that, it says terrible things, the Mabel. As the next pasuk shows us, Vayar Hashem ki rabas ro saw adam. And he saw that people were unfortunately doing all sorts of terrible things. Okay. Then it says, Vayihi b'nosam yikedem. Later on it tells us by the door of the Haflaga, by the Tower of Babel. And it says, Hova nivlanu here. And right afterwards it says, when the people decided to rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that comes right after, Vayihi b'nosam yikedem. Furthermore, it says, by Avram Avinu, Vayihi b'mei Amraphel, who was during the days of the kings of Amraphel. Amraphel was Omar Pol. He was the wicked king Nimrod. And right after that, Asu Milchama, it says a Milchama happened, the four kings against the five kings. Then it says, Vahi Bios Yeshua B'Yericho, when Yeshua was surrounding Yericho to go and fight Yericho. So it says, Vahi, and that means right afterwards, V'charbo Shlufa B'Yodu. We saw the Malach coming to him to attack him. We had this Gemara previously for one of the two sins, either not bringing the Korban Tomei Shel Ben Arbaim or because of not learning Torah. But again, a negative connotation right after that, V'charbo Shlufa B'Yodu. Likewise, Vahi Hashem is Yeshua. It says that Vahi HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with Yeshua, and right after that, we had the terrible tragedy of the Ai, Vayimalu B'nei Yisrael, because Ochon took from the booty from Yericho, which wasn't allowed, so Nebuch, afterwards, the terrible tragedy by the Ai occurred. Likewise, Vahi Ish Echad Min HaRamosayim, there was a certain man, Elkanah, who came from Ramosayim, and right after that it says, Ki Es Chana Ohev Vashem Soga Rachma, but his wife, Chana, he had the two wives, co-wives, the Tzoros, and Hashem didn't allow Chana to have children, even though Ki Es Chana Ohev, Elkanah liked Chana very, very much. He loved her. However, Hashem Soga Rachma, he didn't allow her to have children. Likewise, it says Vahi. Now we have the word Ki, but it should be Kasher. Kasher Zokin Shmuel. When Shmuel got older, so Nebuch it says Vahi, and then afterwards Lohocho Bonav Rudrochav. His children didn't go and follow in the great ways of Shmuel. Then it says Vahi David Lechol Drochav Maskil Vashem Imo. David was very successful, and he was very smart, but it says, Vahi David, and right after that, he has the whole story of the Maisa with Shaul. The Shaul was jealous of him. Vahi Shaul, Oyen is David. He gave him the eye. He looked at him, and he saw that David was a threat to his sons taking over his king after him. Likewise, it says, Vahi Kiyosha Melech Meveso. David HaMelech sat in his house and used the Losh of Vahi, but afterwards it says, Rak Atoy, but you, David, are not going to be Zoche, Lo Tivin HaBayis. Your son Shlomo will, but you won't be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. So you see that the Lashon of Ahi is always followed with a terrible news for Klal Yisrael. Where it says, is this really so? It says, Vahi Bayom HaShmini. The Mishkan was put up, and it says, Parsha Shmini, Vahi Bayom HaShmini, V'tanya. And right after that, it says, also Hayom, that day, it's a Simcha of Nekosh Baruch Hu. That was a great day for Klal Yisrael, as great a day, Kemosh Nivru Bo Shamayim Varetz, as great a day as the creation of the world. That was the putting up of the Mishkan was equally great. And how do we know this? Ksiv Hacha says here, Vahi Bayom HaShmini, and it says, in regards to Bereshit, Ksiv Hacha, Vahi Boker Yom Echad. So, you see, the same Lashon is used in both situations. So therefore, this is an allusion to the idea of the greatness of the HaKomas HaMishkan, and yet it uses the Lashon of Vayhi, there's no bad over there. So where gives the obvious terrors? There was a terrible bad thing, that when the Mishkan was put up, Nebuch, Ha, Shochiv, Nodav, Yaviv, the two older sons of Aaron HaKohen, died with the HaKomas HaMishkan, Nodav, Yaviv's death. So therefore, yes, Vayhi introduced, unfortunately, a tragic event. It also had a positive thing, but it also introduced a tragic event. So that's not a kasha. Where it still says, there are many other places where it says Vayhi, which is a Lashon that is not in a negative way. It says, Vayhi, Bishmonim Shona V'Yarba Mioshona. It was in the 480th year. The 480 years are counted from the time that we left Mitzrayim. And the subsequent psukim talk about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's certainly a very good thing. Likewise, Voksiv, Vayki, Vayhi, Kasher, Ruah, Yaakov, Rachel. Yaakov sees Rachel, and he ends up marrying Rachel and Leah. So that's a good thing that happened afterwards. Voksiv, Vayhi, Erev, Vayhi, Voker, Yom Echad, Vayhika, Sheni, says, Vayhi, Erev, Voker, Yom Sheni, Vayhika, Shlishi, same thing, Vayhishlishi, Vayhika, Tuva, and all the other days. And what's bad about those? So Vayhi doesn't imply automatically something bad as you suggested. So Gemara says, yeah. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, yeah. When it says just Vayhi, could be good or bad. Kol Vayhi, sometimes Iko Hachi, good, Iko Hachi, sometimes bad. Could be good or could be bad. Lav Dafka, you can tell from the word Vayhi what's going to come afterwards. However, if it uses the Lashon, as it does in five places, Vayhi Bimei, if it uses the Lashon and it was in the days, that's always bad. Enoel Lashon Sa, that's going to be never a bad outcome. And what are these five? Chamisha Vayhi Bimei Habu. As I just mentioned, there are five times where it says Vayhi Bimei, and each of them portended to trouble afterwards, tsar afterwards. Vayhi Bimei Achashverosh, we said, oh, Nebuch, the rise of Haman. Vayhi Bimei Shoda Shotim, oh, there was Nebuch a famine. Vayhi Bimei Amraphel, Nebuch, there was the war, Asu Milchama. Vayhi Bimei Achaz, Vayhi Bimei Yoyakim. So these two kings, when it talks about the days of Achaz, Achaz was the father of Chizkiyahu. And Yoyakim, he was one of the Malachim of Malchus Yehuda. So Nebuch, right after that, each of them described a bad thing that happened right after that. For Yoyakim, Nebuch, during his times, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Vayhi Bimei Achaz, so that refers to a terrible time when there was a war, a civil war between the northern kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, and Malchus Yehuda. So indeed, the words Vahi Bimei, that portends always a negative connotation. Now, we had a statement, this was in the name of Rav Levi, so we have other statements in the name of Rav Levi. Amar Rav Levi says another Masora, Dovor Zeh Masores B'Yodeinu Me'avaseinu, here's another thing that we have as a Masora, Omotz V'Amatzia Achim Habu, that the two people, Omotz and Amatzia, Amos was the father of Yishai, Yishai ben Amos, and Amatzia was one of the kings of Malchus Yehuda. So we have a tradition that they were brothers. Nu, Michael Marshallin, why is this important to know? We're not interested in, who's who, just for the sake of listing relatives. So what's the tachlis over here? What's the purpose of telling this Amos and Amatzia Achim Habu? So Morris says, no, very important. Kihoda Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonason. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni said the name of Rav Yonason. Kol Kalo Shehitznu Abaveis Chamiya, Zocha v'yotzen mimena melachim revim. If a kala, if a young lady, a bride, is tznua, she acts very tznua in the house of her father-in-law. They used to live in the father-in-law's house. The young couple would often have an apartment. They would build a room or an apartment in the father-in-law's house, and they would live with the father-in-law. So if the young kala acts very tznuadik in the house that she's living in, her father-in-law's house, so then she'll be zocha to have wonderful children. There will be melachim, kings, unavim, and nevim. There'll be prophets. How do we know this? Minala, from Tamar. Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. She lived in Yehuda's household, and it says about Tamar, Mitamar del Siv, Yireha Yehuda, Vayachshevel Lazona, Ki Chisisah Paneha. When Yehuda went out, after the mice of selling of Yosef, and he went down, and he has the whole famous maisa with Tamar, who he thought was a zona, Vayachshevel a zona. He thought that she was never a lady of the evening. And we know the whole maisa that happened between Tamar and Yehuda. And it says that this all happened because Vayachshevel a zona. He thought she was a zona. Kichisis apaneh, because she covered her face. Now, a zona, the last thing they want to do is cover their face. They want to show how attractive they are to entice business. Rachmana litzlan. So, mishum dechis apaneh, because she covered her face. That's why Vayachshevel a zona, bum faker. Because she covered her face, one would have thought that she's a tznua lady and not a zona. So, one says that's not what it means. Ella, the pasuk is coming to teach us over here. Mishum dechis apaneh, when? Beveis chamiha. V'lo hafiyadallah. She was so tznua when she lived in Yehuda. Yehuda had no idea what she looked like. So now, when she's a zona out on the roads and her face is uncovered, he has no idea that that's his daughter-in-law. He's never seen her face. She was always so tznua, mishum dechisa paneha beveis chamiha, because while she was living in Yehuda's house, he never saw her face. She always was covered up. And therefore, now when he sees her face, he doesn't realize it's Tamar. So that's what it says. V'yachshevel a zona, kichisa paneha, in his house, he never saw her, so he thought this lady was a zona. And therefore, because she acted so tsanua, that's the statement that Rishu Ben Achmeni made in the name of Yonasan, Mishum Dechisa Paneh Beveis Chamiya, Lo Haviyod Allah, Zoch So Haviyotsu Mimena Melochim Nevi'im. She was Zochah to have kings and Nevi'im come from her. Now, who were these kings and Nevi'im? That's why we need the statement of Rav Levi, that Amos Amatzia Achim Habu, Melochim Midavid. We know, of course, she was the progenitor of Malchus Beis David. But where do we see Nevi'im coming from her? So that's what we have. The Amar of Levi. Rav Levi tells us, Masoros B'yadeinu Me'avaseinu, Amos V'Amatzia Achim Hayu. So that's what we have on Masora, that they were brothers. I don't know, before we had the Lashon of Havu, and here we have the Lashon of Hayu or Hayu. So, okay, maybe slightly different gears, or maybe just a printer's error. I don't know. In any event, so Amos and Amatzia are brothers, and we see that we know that Amatzia is the king. So who is Amos? Uksiv Chazon Yeshaya ben Amos. Ah, so if Yeshaya was the son of Amos and Yeshaya is a Navi, we also have a rule that the father's a Navi as well. So that's why they got Nevi'im that came from her as well. At least two, Yeshaya and Amos. Probably were many more, but those are the only two that we specifically mention over here. But that fulfills this statement that it's the Masora that Rav Levi says, that if you act in a way that is Sanua, that you will have children that will be both kings and Nevi'im, and that's Amos V'Amatzia Achim Havu. Okay. Another statement from Rav Levi. Amar Rav Levi, another statement. All these have the similar opening statements that he says this is a Masoros that we have from our fathers. And here he tells us, Malkum Aron Eino Min Hamida. The Aron was in its own dimension, so to say. It was a separate entity that didn't take up physical space as we know it. When you take the dimensions of the Aron and you know the dimensions of the room that it was enclosed in, the Kodesh Kodashim, so it didn't seem to take up any space. How do we know this? Because the Brisa says the same thing as Rav Levi's Masora. Tani Nami Hachi, Aron Asa Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu made the Aron, how big was it? Yeshlo Eser Amos Uchol Ruach. So the Aron was placed inside the Kodesh Kodoshim, and it had 10 amos in every direction around it. So, in other words, it was 20 amma by 20 amma in the room, because the oven is in the middle of the room, and there's 10 ammas to the east, to the south, to the north, and to the west. So you have, in every direction, 10 ammas. But the whole room was only 20 by 20 amma. As it says, Uksiv Lefnei HaDevir Esim Amma Orech, the length of the area of the devir was the aron, and the area around the aron was 20 amma wide, and the gears on the side says you also have to add the esrim amma rochav, and it was 20 ammas in width, so the whole room was 20 by 20, as I just said. So the aron didn't seem to take up any place. Uksiv, k'naf ha-kruvo echad esr amos, u'k'naf ha-kruvo echad esr amos. The kruvim that were on top of the devir, on top of the aron, so their wings and their bodies stretched out 20 amas. The kruvim also, the body of the kruvim, didn't take up any space also. That's a separate nace. But you clearly see over here that the aron was surrounded by 10 amma on each side, because it was 20 amma by 20 amma, the width of this room of the Kodesh Kodashim. So what do you clearly see? Aron gufe hech avikoi. It didn't exist, so to say, in this world. Ella lav shemami. Now you can see clearly from here, the neis hayomid. It stood miraculously. It didn't take up any space. If you measured it out, the room was 20 by 20, and yet the aron was not included in that 20 by 20. That's an asura there of Leviat, and the Brisa supports this. Now, we started mentioning a little bit about the Megillah, Vahibi Me'ach HaShvirosh, so we're going to give what various Amoraim or Tanoim would say before they started to learn Megillah, so they would open up with a certain type of drosha. So the first one is Rav Yonasan. Before he started teaching the Megillah, Pasach lo pischa lahay parshosa mehocha. So he would give his opening preamble, he would give his opening statements before the shir that he would give. So he would say the following. He quoted the following pasuk from Yeshaya, V'kamti aleihem v'gomer, v'chirati lebavel, shame, u'sha'or, v'nin v'necha. These four things, nu'um Hashem. And it says, the Kosh Baruch says, I will cut these off from Bavel. They will not have shame, u'sha'or, nin v'necha. What are these? So he darshan this pasuk as follows, Rav Yonasan. Shame, that's a reference to Zaksav, that the language of Bavel, the Osios of Bavel's language, will be no longer. Zaksab. Shaar, that's the Lashon, that's the language itself. So there won't be a language of Bavel anymore, and there won't be any letters of Bavel anymore. Zat Lashon. The Shaar refers to the Lashon. Now, Tosos points out, it'll be a caution, this is very difficult, Dibra Maslow Shaar. So he says, Adayin Heim Misabrin B'Bavel B'Lashon Aramis. Akbar is in Aramaic. How can you say that the language of Bavel, which is Aramaic, will not be spoken anymore? The Gemara is written in Aramaic. So Tosa says in Ira, the Rosal Omar, when it says over here that Shaar is a reference to the language of Bavel, it wasn't the language of the common people. It was the language of the kings. Lashon Malchus, it was the royal language. Shamalochim Mishtamshin Bavel. It was this royal language that was going to be uprooted, both the letters of this language and the language itself. And nobody else would be able to understand it. That's why they spoke this royal language, but this language is what was taken away. That's the shame, and that's the Shaar. What it says over here, Nin, there won't be any more Nin, that's a reference to the Malchus itself. They won't have any progeny. The Malchus will be gone. And Neched, this is a reference to Vashti herself. That's why he would introduce his discussion about the Megillah, because this is a reference to the destruction of Vashti, which of course is a central early part of the Megillah. Okay, that was Rav Yonasan's opening introductory remarks before he would learn the Megillah. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeini, when he would learn the Megillah, pasuk lepischa lahay parshosa mehocha, he would give his opening remarks before he would learn the Megillah the following. He said, the pasuk tells us, this famous pasuk from Yeshaya, tachas hanatzus yaleh v'rosh v'sachas hasirpad yaleh hadas, familiar to us from the Haftorah of Atinus. So, it says, these words, which were now darshan, tachas anatzus, instead of a natzus is a thorn. So instead of the haman, the thorn, tachas haman, harosha, sha'asa asam avodah zarah. He made himself an avodah zarah. He wanted everybody to bow down to him as an avodah zarah. So instead of haman, and we see that this natzus is a thorn, the ksiv, uvachol hanatzutzim, uvachol hanahalulim. So we see over here that this is a thorn, yale v'rosh, instead a v'rosh, it's a certain type of tree, a cypress tree will come up instead, and this is a reference to Mordechai, Zeh Mordechai. Why was he called a v'rosh? Shenikra rosh l'chol ha-besamim, he was the head of all the besamim. What does that mean? Shenamra, the pasuk says, we darshan it homiletically, v'ata kach l'chol besamim rosh mor dror. You'll take for yourself the best spice, the head spice, which is known as mor deror. Now, mor deror in Aramaic, who's from the Tara Gemina, in Unklis, it says more dochi. It's referred to over there, mor deror is Mordechai, mori dochi, and therefore that's the allusion to Mordechai. So instead of Haman, Tachas and Atzus, Yale V'Rosh. Instead, Haman will be removed and replaced by Mordechai. Then the end of the pasuk, Tachas HaSirpad. The Sirpad is Vashti. Tachas Vashti Harsha, this wicked Vashti. She was the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar, Bas Bino, Shen Nebuchadnezzar, Russia. She was either the granddaughter, or some say the great-granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. So she is considered over here the Sirpad. Why is she called the Sirpad? Shesaraf Rafidas Beis Hashem, that she was the one, i.e. Nebuchadnezzar, her family, that burned down Nebuch, the first Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk says, Rufidoso Zohav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's resting place, so to say, was Zohav, meaning that that was the Aron, which was destroyed and burnt down, the Beis HaMikdash, by Nebuchadnezzar. So she's referred to as the Sirpad. And instead of her, Yala Hadas, instead she'll be replaced, this Sirpad will be replaced by Hadas, a beautiful myrtle tree. Zu Esther, this is a reference to Esther at Tzedekes, the holy Esther, Shenikras Hadas. She was known as Hadassah, as the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Shenema, he omen as Hadassah. So therefore, this is a pasuk is an allusion. This is why Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni opened up his darshining of the Megillah with this pasuk. Okay. Then it says, the end of this pasuk, Voyol Hashem L'shem, what's that a reference to? Zu Mikra Megillah. This will be, that we'll have the reading of the Megillah, L'oso Lom No Yikareis, Eli Mei Purim, that will never stop. Even when Mashiach comes, we'll still have the holiday of Purim. It's such a great holiday for the Jewish people. Gemara continues and tells us what Rav Yeshua ben Levi, what he would say, Pasach Le'Pischa L'Hai Parshot Sameyocha, he would start his drasha on Megillah Esther with the following discussion. The pasuk tells us, Voyol Kasher Sos Hashem Aleichem Le'itiveschem. Then skip some words. Ken yosis lahora eschem. Now that's actually not what the words say. It actually says lahavid eschem ulahashmid eschem. So this is a paraphrase, the last part. In any event, there's a problem over here. It seems to imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy, that Hashem is happy that he is harming his enemies. Ken yosis lahora eschem. He's enjoying that he's harming them. Umi chode HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would HaKadosh Baruch Hu be happy, so to say? We know the famous idea, so certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be happy at his creature's destruction. Haksiv, we know the famous pasuk, it says, hodu Lashem. Doesn't say Kitov, it just says Kili Olam Chasto. And the Gemara says, Omer Yochanan, why doesn't it say Kitov? Ibn Malo Nemar Kitov Behodoz. Why does it say over here, when they go out to their enemy and they give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't say Kitov, it's good. Because Lefi, Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sameach Bema Palos and Shel Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy whenever his creatures are destroyed. As Rav Yochanan tells us in a different place, Omer Yochanan, Maida said, what does the pasuk mean? Velo kar zeh zeh kol alayla. That Klal Yisrael, when we were running away from the Mitzrayim, coming to Yamsuf, we didn't get near each other all night. So what does that mean? So bikshu malachei yashari slomar shira. The malachim wanted to say shira over Kriyas Yamsuf. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not right. Ma'aseyot detovim bayam. The Mitzrayim are dying in the water here. Vatim rosim lomar shira. And you want to say shira? That's not right. Now Klal Yisrael was allowed to say shira because they were the ones that actually were involved right then and there in being saved. So they could say shira. But for somebody else to say shira is incorrect. There's a beautiful word from Rosh Melkim in Nicholsburg who says over here that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to the Malachim, you want to go and kill these Mitzrayim with Shira, just like you killed the armies of Sancheiriv with Shira, and the Shira entered into their noses and they burned them from the inside and not the outside. They don't deserve this. Ma'isa Yodai Tov'u Bayam. They went and threw the Jewish children into the Nilus. Vatem Rotzim Shira, and you want to kill them with Shira? That's not right. It's a very interesting twist on this idea. But the simple understanding is, as we just said, would HaKadosh Baruch Hu be happy about his creatures being destroyed? So therefore, how can you say this pasuk ken yosis lo hara eschem? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, no. Hu eino sos aval acherim mesis. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't happy at this, but he causes other people to be happy about this. When Nebuch, the enemies of the Jews are destroyed, so the Jewish people don't suffer. And you can see a right to this with Daikonami, where it says, dechsev ken yosis. It says, they will in the future rejoice. But look, dechsev yosus. It doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will himself be happy. Shema Amino, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes other people to be happy by the destruction of these Rishayim, but not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyochel is happy. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahano, when he would start Darshni in the Megillah, he opened up with this discussion. He would start his drushes on the Megillah's Esther with the following pasuk. The pasuk tells us, a pasuk from Koheles, Le'odom Shetov Lufonov Nosan Chochma V'das V'Simcha, to a man who is pleasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him Chochma, Das, and Simcha. Who is an example of this? Say Mordechai HaTzadik. So he would open up his drushos on the Megillah with saying some words of praise to Mordechai HaTzadik. And the pasuk continues, V'lachote, to the one who sins, Nosan Inyon, Le'asov, V'lichnos. So to this person who sins, which is Zeh Haman, it's reference to Haman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him an idea, an inyan of lesof lichnos, to go and gather and amass against Klal Yisrael, and he will then be wiped out. The pasuk continues, Loseis l'tov lifnei Elokim. What does that mean? Zeh Mordechai v'Esther. This is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give the possessions of the person who sins to the tov, to the good people. And this is Mordechai and Esther. Zeh Mordechai v'Esther. This is the pasuk says, V'atosim Esther, Es Mordechai, al Beis Haman. That all of the Beis Haman was given over to Mordechai and to Esther. When Rabba bar Ofron, Tosfos points out, it's not Ephron, because we shame Yisharim Yerkov, so we would never have somebody named after a Russia, so it's not Ephron. Ephron was the Russia who sold, of course, Amoras HaMachil to Abram Avinu, so his name is Ofron. So Rabba bar Ofron, when he would darshan the Megillah, so Pasat Lepisro, Lahai Parshasa Mehochma, so he would open up his shir on the Megillah with the following Pasuk. This is a Pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which says, V'samti chisi be'elam, I will go and put in my throne, my kisei, in Elam. Elam was the place where Achashverosh was the melech. And v'havariti misham melech b'sarim, and from there I will destroy the king and his officers. Who is this a reference to? The melech over here that he will destroy, Zu Vashti. That's a reference to the queen Vashti. B'sarim, and the prince that he will destroy, that's a reference to Haman, Zehaman, Vaseres Bonav, and the plural, so that includes his 10 sons. Haman had many, many sons. The 10 that were hung on the tree with Haman are the ones that are referred to over here. The Mark continues, Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak, when Rav Dimi bar Yitzchak would give a shir on the Megillah, so Pasak la Pisra, Lahai Parshasa Meyachos, so he would open up his shir with the following drasha, and he dashes as follows, we turn to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, and he quotes the Pasak from Ezra, Ki Avadim Anachdu, we are your servants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uba'avduseinu, Lo Azavne Elokeinu, Bayet Aleinu Chesed Lefnei Malchei Baras. So yes, we are servants to other people, but we are your servants, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we never ever give up serving you. The kings who we serve, you will make them be kind to us. So when is this? Emosai, Bisman Haman. So when Haman was destroyed, so they were nice. Daryavish was the son of Achashverosh, so he was the king of Persia, and he was nice to the Jewish people. He allowed them to start the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what this pasuk in Ezra is referring to. Now the Gemara continues with many more Amaroyim, how they would introduce their drashos of the Megillah, but this is a good breakpoint. With this, we conclude today's shiur.